Hello and welcome to Twin Peaks Investing. My name is Peter Higgins. I'm at Conkers 3 and I'm here today with my colleague Peter at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. And we are the host for the Twin Peaks podcast. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for subscribing, keeping the numbers going up. And we're here to just today to talk about the markets and to catch up with you all as to what we've been seeing and what we've been experiencing regarding the markets. I hope you're all well and welcome to this podcast. Pete, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. I've had a strange week, to be fair, with a few technical issues.
Oh,
But I'm pleased to say that we're here, and you've got your mic set up, and we've got the technology, and the audio is going to be a lot better for everyone to listen to going
Yeah,
forward.
I'm pretty sure that the new USB mic I've purchased and stuff used with my laptop looks like it's going to give much better quality, and that's obviously what everybody wants.
Absolutely, everybody wants to be able to listen to it without their ears getting tingled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, getting ear cancer.
Absolutely. So mate, we're going to start with a chat about the markets. I don't know where you want to start because we've had quite a number of profit warnings thus far this week.
Yeah, I mean it is quite a weird, well, not, it's sort of understandable in that we're seeing pretty good strength in the indexes, like the FTSE 100. I know, I mean I We're recording this on, what is it, Friday the 27th of September. I've been out of the pub all day, so it's I've been sort of away from it, but I can see that the FTSE 100's had another good day, and I think it's been a week where the FTSE 100 has broken higher, and I think the European markets have done okay. The American ones, they're right up near all-time highs, and they seem to be not quite as punchy this week. Obviously, a lot of it is around the weakness of the pound and stuff with all the Brexit shenanigans. But yeah, so it's been, so the funny thing is that the FTSE's been doing well, but I think further down the market, when you get into certainly in the small caps and the AIM stuff and the FTSE 250 to an extent, it's been harder work, hasn't it?
It has, mate, and I think unfortunately what's happened is quite a lot of the smallest stocks are playing catch up because we started the week regarding the FTSE, and it was obviously quite weak going into the decisions, what's going to happen regarding the courts regarding
Prorogation, however you
the
pronounce it.
prorogations and the Tory government. And then since that's happened, we've dipped below 7,300, and we've since had a good couple of days of a couple of rallies, really, and
Yeah,
since they've
it's pushed higher.
gone up 130-ish points, really, and we're now sitting above 7,400 again, and we've closed today up 1%, and that's despite having profit warnings in Pearson, who said that the US side of the market is not going so well. Are people continuing to do higher education, or they're doing vocational stuff in the US and elsewhere? British Airways because of the strikes, Imperial Brands because of the vaping issue. There's just been loads of different negativity regarding the FTSE 100, and despite that, the markets has ended up for the week. So small caps, I think today it was Andrew Sykes, which is quite a resilient sort of infrastructure company. That took a bit of a hit today. At one point, I think it was down more than 15%. It's recovered a little bit, but that was usually quite a resilient stock, and that's took a bit of a hit. So the markets are not holding any prisoners, Pete. If you've come out with good numbers, they'll say, "Bah, thank you." If you come out with bad numbers, they're going to absolutely smack you.
I mean, the only way, I mean, I'm finding with my portfolio, the only way I'm really making progress is when I get a takeover on one of my stocks, and obviously I get a nice jump up, or if I get one of my companies exceeding expectations and being really positive. That's the only time that the portfolio really seems to make any headway. I feel like apart from that, there's a lot of just sort of treading water with some stocks up, some stocks down. It's very, very mixed and very up and down. There's no sort of like clear one direction. We don't want one direction, obviously, because that would definitely make your ears hurt. Things just seem to be all over the place and a bit of a mind of their own.
The thing is, Pete, you and I both both hold AstraZeneca as one of our core holdings.
Yeah.
And with regards to the FTSE year to date, that is up a ginormous 25%, right?
Big move for a big stock, isn't it?
And for a FTSE 100 company, that is exceptional. And that's what's been carrying my portfolio all year long, because it's the
Yeah.
size of it within my portfolio, as you know, is a crazy percentage,
Yeah.
that I wouldn't advocate anyone else to do. But because of that, and a couple of takeovers, my portfolio is it hit a high, and a new high, yesterday, and it's still up there at high for the year, year to date. So I'm exceptionally happy. But part of the reason why my portfolio has done well is because I've avoided some of these profit warnings in numerous FTSE 100 companies, all share companies, and AIM stocks, which have been absolutely spanked year to
Well,
date and since
I
May.
noticed one. Yeah, I noticed one this morning. Hydradec, HYR. I mean, to my mind, it's been a pretty difficult company for years. When you look at the chart, you can see it's been almost one way traffic, and it's down. It was down 55% when I looked this morning. On the warning, it may have recovered a little bit, but it's these kind of things. They're just getting absolutely butchered.
That's not one I even know anything about, Pete. Hydrodeck.
That's the one that does like old second-hand oil, worn-out oil from transformers or
Oh, so it's
electricity, and
recycling it and
it
you're
recycles
refurbishing.
it and redoes it. I'm sure they've been around longer than I have. Do you know what I mean? They
Right.
just seem to be one of those stocks you always see, and it never really seems to get anywhere. It'll have like odd spurts where the share price will jump up, and everyone gets excited, and all of a sudden, Hydradec's going to be the next best thing.
Right,
And
okay.
then it just dies away again and
Well,
disappoints, you know.
mate, I've not even seen that for all the stuff I've been doing today, but I've just pulled it up on the screen here, Pete. It's down
Yeah.
64%,
Oh,
63.93%. So the
nasty.
share price was something nearer to 32 pence, a couple of, well, a day or so ago.
Yeah.
And now it's at 15.15%. So, it'd be
Yes.
interesting if we'd had the time to look at this before talking about it, see how many people admitted that they held it yesterday,
Yeah,
and how many people came out today and actually said, oops, I've been hit. Because as you say, they very rarely come out when things go wrong to admit that they've got it wrong.
no,
And
that's very true.
that's
People tend not to like saying about what they've lost money on Twitter, do
no, they
they?
don't. I mean, that's a big hit for anybody though,
Oh, yeah.
63%. 1 minute you're sitting there and it's just flatlining and or just creeping up, to then be, to receive a Tyson blow to the chin. That's just harsh, mate.
Well, it's the classic thing, isn't it? Where we've talked about this before. Where if you just hold one stock in your portfolio, or two or three or four stocks, if you've got Hydradec as one of those stocks, you're just absolutely massacred. It's if you're gonna have these kind of stocks, you've got to have them as a small part of your portfolio. It's just absolute insanity to have them as a big chunk. It really is just gambling.
It is, but unfortunately, we've seen that on Twitter,
I
with
see it all the time. I see it all the time. I see people with all their money in a stock like that, and they're like absolutely convinced it's going to make them rich and whatever. It very rarely does. Well, I don't think it ever does, to be honest. You never hear of anyone who's just had one stock that's like suddenly made them a multi-millionaire. It just doesn't happen.
it doesn't, and sadly, we've seen that this week with a couple of stocks, which a lot of the retail investors were holding, and also people that worked for certain companies, Thomas Cook, and sadly, and I wish everyone out there who knows anybody that was working for Thomas Cook all the very best, and I hope you can support the people that are out there that that are unfortunately looking and considering where they're going to find their next job, because
Oh, yeah.
178 years of age, that company, and now it's gone into administration, primarily because mismanagement for over a decade, I would say, really, Pete.
Totally. I mean,
They had the
they
advantage
just
of
haven't
being,
reacted, have they?
they haven't reacted. They had the advantage of being the largest, one of the largest travel agency companies and travel companies, blah blah blah, in the UK. And online came, low cost airlines came, and they were like, you know what, we're all right, we're cool, we're cushy. So you've gone from being a multi-billion pound company to going out in administration, costing people their jobs because you haven't managed it. Yet there's outrage because they seem to have pocketed £20 million in the process regarding
Oh.
various bonuses and other schemes that they've got. And
Oh,
there are probably
directors have
people's
been
jobs that they could have covered there with that money.
shoving cash into their profits and into their pockets and not really doing. I mean, thing that you said it there at the start of when we started talking about Thomas Cook. You said these had the advantage of being the biggest company. You'd think that the biggest company would be best placed to see the new trends that are coming and to sort of anticipate what is coming down the track. And in many ways, to be able to respond better than, I mean, obviously you're going to get new companies, new disruptors, but these big companies should be aware of these disruptors and should be looking at it and thinking, hang on, that's going to come and that's going to bite us in the bum. So we need to be moving that way. You know what I mean? And you just see so many of these companies where I guess it's a psychology mindset thing where the management just can't adapt. They cannot shift fast enough to the new world.
It's a recurring thing, Pete. I think I had a
Well,
conversation with you some time ago, maybe
it's
not
the
on the pod.
Kodak, isn't it? It's the classic.
No, I don't think we had it on the podcast, but a similar sort of thing happened, and the retailers end up playing catch up. And you recall when Aldi and Netto and Lidl arrived, the Tescos of the world, the Morrisons of the world, the Safeways of the world, and
Well, they were
Sainsbury's,
all booming, weren't they? I mean,
they're all
Tesco's like
booming,
the
and
darling of food retail, and it could
absolutely.
do no wrong, could it?
And they had like, what was it, 50p or 40 pence in the pound of every single pound that was spent went to Tesco's. And it's like, we don't need to worry about these little,
Who are they?
these invaders. We'll just spot
Yeah.
them with a fly.
These little cheapies.
Absolutely. And now they're just playing, now they're having to deal with it and having to do all manner of different things. And their margins have been cut to ribbons, as a consequence, and they're now seeing that everything's got to be, not everything, but vast majority of stuff has got to be online. And the winners in the retail trade are the ones that are omni-channel or predominantly bricks light and online heavy. And I think we were speaking the other day about your holding of Boohoo, which is a different type of retail, but fast fashion retail that's doing phenomenally well for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Boo's just been a cracker, and they had well, we said, didn't we? They had results the other day, and they didn't really react to the results because they'd already jumped up because they'd put out a trading update a few weeks or whatever earlier, and basically said we're going to smash it. These results are going to beat expectations big time, and I think they jumped something like 15% in one day, which is what I was saying earlier that it's. When these kind of things happen, that's what's helping my portfolio. That's been the sort of saving grace this year, thank goodness. But yeah, I mean, the Boo results were just brilliant. I mean, the growth is just so strong. What was it? It's like 42% revenue growth on the, I think it's on the year. And and just like, what was it? Misguided, isn't it? Or whatever, the one of the smaller back, no, Nasty Gal.
Nasty, yeah,
It's something like
nasty.
140,
Nasty gal, I think it's called, Pete, something like that.
something like 148% up or something. Absolutely massive growth, and I can see because their main brand is obviously Boohoo. They've then got Pretty Little Thing, and then they've got and then the smaller one is this one we were on about just now. I've already forgotten the name of. It's
Nasty gal. This is what
Nasty Gal.
happens,
It's
Pete, when
been
you
a
go
long
to the
day in the
pub
pub,
for the
mate.
afternoon and try and come in and do a podcast, mate, yeah?
I don't. So yeah, no. This I can see this Nasty Gal. Those kind of growth rates, it is going to become significant to their overall revenues and to their profits in a big way. And then they've recently bought things like Karen Millen and a couple of other brands that were sort of traditional, normal, bricks brands.
Yeah.
They bought the online only bits, which is an absolute, piece of genius work, really.
It is genius. Karen Millen is a brand that my boss, I've been buying her stuff from there for years, and that's top brand sort of stuff, on the way up there,
And
middle range,
it's the
top
age
range,
thing. It's the
expensive
age.
stuff, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the age demographic that
Yeah.
the normal Boohoo stuff sort of goes up to, I don't know, 35 or something is where from like kids to 35, and things like Karen Millen are a bit older, so.
Yes.
It's going to sort of broaden their appeal, and if they can do similar things with that to what they've managed to achieve with their other brands, then the future's pretty damn rosy, really.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing, you know, they're in the retail, they're buying that Karen Millen brand because they can, because they're throwing off cash, yeah. And they're now sitting there at £3.5 billion worth of valuation market cap, yeah, or just over 3 billion, sorry. And you've then got the likes of M&S, which is just about 3.6 billion. So they're catching up, and I guarantee you, if M&S don't sort themselves out within a year, yeah, M&S will be falling out of the FTSE 100. I think they're just hanging on in there at the minute this quarter, and you'll get boohoo. You know that will. You know, market cap will exceed M&S, and that will be what within 14, 15 years. And Marks & Spencer has been around how long?
Oh yeah, I mean you're right. I mean Boo's been around no time. I mean I find Marks and Spencer a fascinating one because it's back what we were saying earlier that you know management and companies quite often just don't seem to be able to adapt. And with Marks and Spencer, I mean I sort of wonder will they ever really adapt, you know? Have they? I mean we could have had the same conversation 10 years ago. And said, Marks and Spencer's got trouble. Can it adjust? And when you think about it, looking back 10 years, it's just got worse. It hasn't.
It
It's
has
just
got
changed
worse.
anything.
It's got
It's
worse.
had.
I think they're now trying to do a bit. They're trying to do a Thomas Cook, aren't they? They're trying to rescue themselves from themselves, you know. So they're shutting up shop everywhere, you know. And there's some significant towns where there's not going to be an M&S, which traditionally always had an M&S, you know. And you know things are biting when the M&S is leaving an area and there's not one for another 20, 30 miles.
And I don't know, they just, I mean, I always used to think of M&S as being, I mean, its food was an outstanding quality offering. I mean, it was expensive, but you sort of paid up for it. And a lot of people were happy to pay up for the quality. But you sort of feel that they've let that go. You know, you can get almost as good quality with Tesco's Finest or with Sainsbury's Best Brand, you know. And they've sort of let their lead and their niche, if you like, erode, and it's criminal. I mean, they used to be like the place for women's bras and knickers and stuff. You know, that was where you know every young girl would go to M&S with her mum and start. You know, and that seems to have gone. And you think they had so many niches and segments where they were just dominant, and they've just let it go.
Sad. It's sad
I
that
do find it
happened.
sad, and you think of all the retail gurus like Stuart Rose and God knows who else who've been into M&S to sort it out. None of them have achieved anything.
Yeah, sad. I think they almost peaked when he was there as well. He did his level best, took a nice big bonus, and then
Oh,
he did the walk. You know what I mean?
yeah, that's exactly what the game is. It's interesting because it brings you to things like, Imperial Tobacco and British American Tobacco, where they're in this situation where they're obviously fag, you know, normal cigarette vendor providers, and obviously that is a declining market, you know, because of regulation and people knowing about health and all the rest of it. So that market is declining over time. And they're trying to sort of go into next generation stuff, you know, vaping and heating up tobacco and whatever that's supposed to be more healthy, blah, blah. But it's like, can they make that transition fast enough? And I'm not really sure they can, because you look at next generation revenues now, it's like nothing. It's like 3% or something. So, you know, can they make that switch quick enough? And I'm not sure they can.
It's they've invested a lot of money into the space. All of the brands have, and you know the situation there is that they haven't got a choice but to try and innovate. The problem they've got is adaption or adoption of that vaping product, and it hasn't. It's there. It's on the cusp. It hasn't really taken over. It's not transitioned as fast as they expect.
No,
You
exactly.
know, and now you've got a situation where it's being questioned as to how well healthy it actually is, you know, and I think what's it? I think there's been four deaths in America, and already you've got the Trump government saying we're considering whether or not to investigate this further with a view to banning it. So, you know, the
I mean,
tobacco
if that.
industry that have had people pushing and lobbying for years will have something to say about that going forward, I think.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's like if, I mean, moving to vaping and stuff was all about healthier products. But if they're found out to not be healthy, then that just kills it, really.
It does. I mean, you'll recall this, Pete, because you and me are of similar age. Remember the,
Yeah, we're only in
which
our 30s, aren't we?
was it, Skoll or something like that, which was the chewing tobacco?
Skull Bandits.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
remember that came out with all the range. It was all hyped. Everyone was doing it, and then
Yeah.
bang, it was gone
Yeah.
because all these people were getting tongue, mouth, and throat cancer.
Well, I remember it. I remember it because I'm, big into motorbikes and bike racing and stuff. And there used to be the Skull Bandit Suzuki team, which was a really famous team in the sort of 80s in this country. They were really pushing Skull Bandits. And as you said, they just rotted your mouth out.
Yeah, so yeah, there's all
Crazy.
those.
I've got a slight challenge with a similar situation. I've got quite a lot of Shell RDSB shares, yeah?
Right.
And I own them because of the nice dividend and whatever. But I think in a way they face a similar problem that a lot of their revenues and obviously profits that are derived from petrol and diesel and stuff like that, I don't think it's as immediate as the difficulty facing tobacco. And it might take 10, 15, 20 years for it to play out. But it's pretty obvious that at some point the petrol, diesel, whatever revenues are going to be falling, and they need to be growing other revenues, which is presumably natural gas and maybe doing battery stuff and charging points and whatever. They need to be growing that to make up for the shortfall. And I'm sort of thinking, should I be selling Shell shares at some point? Because do I really want to be holding them if they're going through this massive fundamental transition, which they may not get right,
I mean, to be fair, I think Shell have been quite proactive in that space, but it's a, like you say,
Yes, they have. Yeah.
just like the tobacco industry, the dominant part of their revenue is obviously going to be those resources that they've had, for tens and decades of years, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So the newer stuff is bringing in a trickle of revenue. Will it ever
Yeah.
replace and ever surmount that? I doubt it very much, but this is why they've purchased what they've purchased and investigating the revenue streams, because they haven't got a choice, Pete. You know,
Well, no, you're right. Yeah.
you've got electric vehicles, you've got solar, and you've got all this other stuff that they're going to have to get involved in.
The thing that's helping them is gas. They've gone a big way into natural gas and stuff. But again, whether gas is really the long-term future is not clear. I mean, I think it'll probably take them through quite a few decades, maybe. But ultimately, you sort of think, well, gas is probably a bit of a fossil fuel that maybe doesn't have a future. Who knows?
That's one of them things. I think all the resources are finite. That's the problem. You know what I mean? You've got to go for
Yeah.
natural, haven't you?
Well, and it's that
Balance.
problem that you burn the darn things and you get CO2. And
Yeah.
you look today on the news that you've had Greta Thunberg and all the kids are on strike. I love that idea that kids go on strike from school. I'm sure when I was at school I'd have loved to have a day striking. And I'd have stroke all week, mate. But and obviously green issues are getting pushed up the agenda massively. And this kind of stuff's going to start biting soon, I'm sure of it, which gets us back to Boohoo, because I think one of the biggest challenges facing Boohoo, probably the biggest challenge, is fast fashion. That fast fashion is starting to get criticised. It's not particularly green, not particularly friendly.
And it comes back down to the packaging, Pete. It's all down to the packaging,
Yeah.
isn't it? And how much,
But
and
it's the whole throwaway thing, isn't it, that you
it's a
buy.
throwaway thing. It's
Buy
also
something,
how
you wear it
much
once, throw it away.
these clothes have to be made, Pete, and it's quite intense to make these products, the cloth, the cotton, the dyeing, the water that's
Yeah.
required for it.
Yeah.
And and a lot of these things are worn for a season, whether that's be 3 months
Well,
or
a
so.
lot of these things are worn for a night out, mate,
And then, and then sent back to the store
Yeah, well,
a lot
I
of the
think
times.
it's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a lot of waste.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed with Boohoo, they've actually started doing a recycled clothes range. So that's good to see, you know what I mean? I was pleased about that, but obviously they need to be doing more on that side.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So no, it's an interesting one.
I wanted to touch on Pete because I was speaking to a young man that everyone knows out there called Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Self-serve, so I'll give him a shout out. He's a very,
Yeah,
very,
trading basis.
trading base. He's a very good guy, very
Good
knowledgeable.
lad, yeah.
And we're talking about serious minerals, and the plight of that company and lots of people in and around, that locale where the main mine is up north.
SXS, isn't it?
SXX is a ticker, and
Yeah.
a lot of them are invested in the stock. A lot of them had jobs in the mine for years, and
Oh.
now everything seems to be being put on hold, and the share price has been absolutely smashed to smithereens, and
Oh.
we don't know where the next funding is going to come from for that company. And it's, it was a well touted company. It was over, I think it was over 40 pence per share at one stage or something daft like
Well,
that.
I know Jason did really well on it because he has this incredible sort of price breakout system and pyramiding up, and he did absolutely brilliant on it, and he got out right near the top, and as he does, I mean, he's got such a great system. Too repetitive and robotic for me personally, but I think it's a fantastic system.
Yeah, I mean the shares are now wallowing down and drifting down every single day, and it's down a further 21% today,
Oh.
2.91 pence, having been as high as 46 pence back in 2017, when everyone was saying it's going to go to £1, it's going to go to £2, it's going to go to this, that, and the other,
Got to move,
and
mate.
in the past 18 months, well, t yeah. 18 months, 12 months, it's just rolled right over from 40p down to sub 3p. So my sympathies to anybody out there who knows anyone that's working there or holding that share. But once again, it's these sort of stocks you've got to be mindful of when sentiment changes or finance gets pulled or governments don't back them anymore. You're left high and dry with regards to that sort of stock, and where's it going to go? I suspect. If I was a gambling man, which occasionally I am, you're going to have a situation where a foreign body or entity is going to be the person that, or entity that comes in and goes, yeah, we'll throw our money at that. But the revenues and the whilst the jobs might get saved or some jobs will get saved, that revenue is not going to be then utilised in the UK. It's going to be taken elsewhere and outside the country. So that's
Well,
the worry.
in terms of an investment point of view, the way I'd look at it, it really looks binary. I mean, it looks to me like it's a stock that's worth nothing, and you're going to lose all your money if you buy it today, or it's a stock that's going to multi-bag and you're going to make a lot of money. But obviously, you've got to sell. No doubt there'll be loads of people who owned it at 5p who then owned it at 46p or whatever.
Yes.
And I bet a lot of them watched it go all the way back down again. And it's.
I wouldn't advocate anybody go anywhere near it, mate.
Well,
If
I'm the same. I wouldn't touch it with yours, but.
somebody comes out of the woodwork and says we're going to back this, or the government comes out of the woodwork and says we're going to back it or whatever, there's going to be ample time to get on board if this does recover. But to say, oh, it's below 3p now and it's 6p last week, therefore I got a bargain. To quote Jason, at 3 pence, there's a possibility of being 100% wrong and it going to zero, not dissimilar to the situation with Thomas Cook. People have been chasing that stock, and even I had a nibble at it, when we had the last mellow, before the last mellow, and I got out at 18.8p, even though I could have got out at 32 pence. And I had conversations that day with numerous people as to why I got out, and few people were saying, oh, I think it's worth a nibble here, or I bought it higher than that, so I'm going to keep it. And now it's nothing, it's zero essentially, so people have lost their money, lost their jobs. So binary plays or stocks that's overramped, we keep repeating this on this podcast, just be very, very mindful that no matter how far down a stock is, I mean, it's a falling knife, it can still go down again and further down again. And another stock, Pete, Metro Bank, which lots of people have been talking
Oh,
about.
MTRO,
MTRO, at £3, it's a
what a
bargain.
hound that has been from day one, hasn't it? It's just been a hound's a good word, because the only thing that I ever remember about Metro Bank, because it's not something that interests me, as a stock, the only thing I ever remember is that one of its main selling points when it first listed or whatever was that it was the only bank where you could take your dog in. And that always used to make me laugh. I always think that was just classic, yeah, you can take your dog into the bank.
I never knew that because it came
It's
onto my
bizarre.
radar when a
Bizarre.
few years ago, Pete, when they were talking about it being one of the main banks for safety deposit boxes which
Oh,
retail
yeah.
people could get access to, because it used to be the finest banks in the world, didn't it, who had the concierge service and gave us a
Yeah.
second key, and you walked in and you put your little gold bits and pieces and your secret, certificates in certain
You can probably
places.
put your dog biscuits in there or
So that's when they came onto my radar. But consequently, it's gone from 6 quid, sorry, 30 quid, down to 6 quid last week. And then they were trying to raise 250 mil or whatever it was, and then they pulled it for a variety of different reasons and said, oh,
Yeah.
that was their choice. But I think today it touched 1.60 pound. It's that's how quickly it's halved,
It just looks like one of those that's you sort of know where the story ends, don't you? And it ain't good. You know what I mean? It just
It's not looking
feels like
good,
that. No, it just
but
feels like that.
for the high those of a different disposition to myself and you, it's rallied late this afternoon because somebody's bought I think something like 3%. So lots of the traders are
Oh,
celebrating,
they're jumping
salivating,
on it, yeah.
and of course would have caught the bottom today, of course, Pete.
Oh, they
And
got it nailed on, mate, yeah.
absolutely. So there'll be lots of people chewing and ramping over the weekend to say this is going to be £2.50 on Monday or £3 on next Friday or whatever. But just please be mindful, guys, ladies out there, that there is no guarantees and no one knows the facts as to what's going to happen to net to my to Metro next. If it goes to £3, those that are in it, very, very well done. Congratulations. But those that are thinking, oh, I'm going to jump out or fear of missing out, please be mindful that no one knows what's going to happen,
Yeah, and it's a very high risk situation. Yeah, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Was
So,
it that bloke, was it Vernon Hill or somebody who was
Vernon
involved?
Hill,
And
yeah.
he's gone, hasn't he? Is that right?
Say the last bit again, Pete. I missed
I
that.
think he's gone. He's left the company, hasn't he? Or...
I'm not sure he's gone yet. I think
Okay.
they're trying to get rid of him.
Okay, right.
But the strange thing was his wife was in the business again, doing lots of different roles and PR and design and stuff with her and getting
Yeah.
salary. It's like she's got no qualification
Corporate
in the company. Qualification outside of the
governance
company
again.
than being your wife, but you got her a job and paying her a salary. It's these sort of things that people don't look at when they look at the finer details, the reasons, red flags not to be in a certain company. But analysts and brokers were touting this at 25, 30 quid, saying it's going to go to the moon, it's going to be a challenger bank, and it's this, that, and the other.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's at sub it's at 1.60 pound today, Pete. It's like how far and how quickly can something go wrong with a company?
I guess the thing that always puzzled me with them is that, they always said from day one that they were opening loads of branches and stuff, and that was like part of their rationale, which I guess is why you can take your dog in there because they've got a branch to take the dog into, whereas all the other banks are going online only, so you have to have your dog at home. But
Oh, mate, I'd sooner buy pets at home, which I should have
well.
bought in January. Look how far that's gone,
Exactly. Well, I'm lucky that I've still got pets, and I'm
That's a very
very
good call
pleased about
by
it.
you, mate.
Yeah, I'm
Very
very
good
pleased
call.
about it playing out. So, but yeah, with Metro Bank, I mean, I was thinking, it's like the rest of the world is going online only and getting rid of its bricks and saving all that cost of running branches and having staff and all the rest of it.
Yes.
And it was Metro Bank opening them up, and I'm thinking, surely that's just going to make you price uncompetitive. It just seemed bonkers to me.
It
So I
is,
could never get it.
and that's the consequence
Oh.
of their downfall. Yeah, they've opened some branches in Birmingham recently. I think they've got a crazy amount of shops in and around, sorry, branches in and around London. But it was one of them things where I saw them having a situation where they had a run on the bank. I think it was before the last Mellow Pete that they had a run on the bank.